Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Golden Oak Lending. Go to goldenoaklending.com if you would like to lower your monthly payment, take advantage of those low interest rates, take some cash out. And by the way, when you refi, no payments for 2 months. Sometimes that's all the relief that you need. goldenoaklending.com. You can use their secure online portal. And by the way, if they don't close the loan, there's no appraisal fee. They don't even take your credit card for it. Golden Oak Lending's been helping people for years. You can do that by going to goldenoaklending.com. My wife has stepped into studio. We've been talking about college. There is a sports angle to this, and I appreciate all the parents out there that are reaching out and messaging and tweeting at me and calling into the show, but there's a sports angle to this because presumably when students are back on campus, that means sports, it's safe for sports to begin. But I think the universities are just saying things like, hey, we intend to have students on campus in the fall because they really don't know, and it's better to be optimistic than not. Anna, in your recent couple of few That Expert shows, you've been dealing with college admissions, and you've been dealing with how do you pay for college amid all this coronavirus. This dovetails nicely into our conversation. What do you think as you hear some of that conversation?
Expert that I spoke with today with a college mentoring entity called College Coach, they're the experts on this, and she heads up their college finance department. What really surprised me is that we've got to think about it from the college standpoint. Like you're saying, they need those classes filled, whether those classes are taking place online or on campus. They cannot stay financially solvent if they don't have students filling up those rosters. The other side of that is that you're going to have an incredibly competitive incoming class competition for state universities because kids are not going to go as far from home. They're going to be looking to the essential bargain that a state university offers. And, you know, we talked a lot about the options that parents have, whether they have current college students right now or whether they have high school seniors and juniors that are trying to make that decision on which college to attend.
The a parent reached out to me. He's got a kid at Michigan State. He says that, you know, they've offered incentives and some insurance. They say they have a fund if your kid needs to break the lease. It's clear that, you know, they're really banking on having classes of some kind. It's hard anyway. Like we've seen the numbers. It's hard anyway for parents and kids to find ways to pay for college. How much more challenging is it amid this era? What did you find out?
It's interesting because I think there are advantages for parents, for families that were planning to have their kids go to college anyway, because what the expert was saying was that there are these smaller private colleges that are going to be trying to bend over backwards to lure students in. So if your kid is not a straight A student, like they're not that 4.3 GPA valedictorian, maybe they're a B student. Well, if they go to a private college where the average grade is a C, they're going to stand out among those students, and the college will be discounting tuition and giving them merit scholarships.
Wait a minute. Yes. Hold on. Are you saying that I could have got a full ride to one of these small colleges and I only come along at the right time?
I don't know about a full ride, but she also cautioned that it's super important to look at the financial health of the colleges because what you have are all these smaller private universities that were kind of barely breaking even, barely in the green, and this whole situation might be tanking them and it might be the final nail in the coffin for them because they just can't justify keeping their doors open. So She gave us all kinds of tools on how to evaluate the overall financial health of a college. What you don't want to do.
Merrillhurst University.
Right. You don't want to send your kid off to college and then midway through their college career, the college closes its doors because it can't afford to stay open.
Then you got to figure out, where am I living? What counts? How can I transfer?
Yeah.
A lot of problems ongoing with that. I think back. I think it's the parent who called in. He's got five daughters.
God bless him.
He is doing a really good thing, I think, in trying to insulate his kid. It's, you and I have talked about this with our own kids. 3-year-old, how much do they know? 5-year-old, and I think it's one of the cutest things ever when the 3-year-old says, "I don't want to catch coronavirus." It also breaks my heart.
Yeah.
At the same time, where I'm like, "Oh my gosh, how do you even know that?" Where do you draw the line? Like, I remember being a high school senior. I was overwhelmed with, where am I going? How am I going to make a decision? What's the right decision? Like, my life, my career will depend on the decision I'm about to make. You throw coronavirus on top of this? How much pressure do you think are on kids today?
Yeah, I think that's going to be really tough, because it is. I remember scrambling around before May 1st as I was trying to decide between colleges. Because you feel like this is going to chart the path for the rest of my life.
Yes. Who am
right?
I going to marry?
Who am I going to be? Especially if you've had a positive high school experience, too. Like,
yes.
You don't want to create a letdown for yourself. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to advise on that, because I remember that pressure. I think that if you have an older kid, like a junior or a senior, there has to be that conversation about, okay, what can we realistically afford right now? What are the options? And I really was encouraged by the advice that this expert had to offer, which was, these schools that you previously might have thought were just out of reach, like, you're looking
we're talking about smaller colleges,
yeah.
Private universities,
mm-hmm.
that tuition we might have gone, oh no, that's going to be like a $40,000 tuition. We need to stay with the state school. You're saying those are now on the table.
Those very well will be on the table, because A, the state school is going to be so competitive to get into. Think about it.
Mm.
There's going to be more kids staying close to home. We don't know yet whether they're going to let more kids in that live in state, or if they're going to continue to keep the proportions with those out of state kids, because
those
out of staters pay full tuition.
At Oregon, for example, in state to just the tuition, about $12,500 just for the tuition. The out of staters paying three times that. It's in the $30,000 range. So I think there's a huge difference. And it's why, too, I noticed this at Portland State. Portland State, as I drive through the campus, it is like the United Colors. Like, it is a commercial. It's diversity. It's multiculturalism. Then I got on their website and I was like, wow, they have students from, like, you know, 110 countries. And I know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's because those are out-of-state tuition students. Cha-ching! That's Adriana. Those are your classmates. Portland State is going, hey, there's more money. Like, Adriana, we're making money on her. But we're really making money on the, not Alabama Adriana, but Albania Adriana. That's where we're really making the money. All right, so let me ask you this. 529 plans have been disrupted for people who are in the 529 business, the Oregon College Savings Plan. It's been disrupted by the economy. The stock market has been hit. Did your expert have any opinions or advice for people when it came to kind of the money that you have saved? And, you know, because I heard, you know, one financial planner told me, you know, he would advise people who have seniors or juniors in high school just to withdraw one semester's payment. Leave the money in the 529 plan while it's down 22% or whatever the market's down, and just go one payment at a time as you're withdrawing.
Yeah, because that allows for the time for it to continue to build back. She just said basically it's a good time to review your plan, because you got to figure out what your comfort level is with risk, how much you think the market is going to come back between now and the time that you're going to have to start making those withdrawals, and basically just what is your timeline?
Yeah.
Like, you know, do you have a 5-year-old or do you have a, you know, high school junior?
Both.
I know, we have both.
We have both.
It's a good time to review that. And she did say, because Congress passed like this CARES Act, which provides for, you know, colleges to provide assistance, like it can continue to pay students for work study that they may not be able to even do right now. It can provide financial support. to students who've dealt with financial changes because of coronavirus. So definitely look into those options as well.
All right. I have a question for you, because you and I have kicked this around privately, but I want to take this conversation public. The you are graduating from your high school, Park Rose High School, proud Bronco here. You're in the Hall of Fame at Park Rose, by the way. I noticed that. But you have a scholarship to Pepperdine. You have a scholarship to Stanford, for crying out loud. You pull your transcript out, it's just a big A all over it. I had one UC Davis that I was in. I was into a couple of private schools, but I knew it was going to be pricey. I opted for community college. To this day, I look back and go, what did I miss out on? What did I miss out on? Should I have got? I still am, in some ways, that high school senior who was sitting on the fence. Do you, as somebody who went to a four-year on a full ride, have that same, I wonder what would have happened if I had gone to Stanford or gone somewhere else, Gonzaga, somewhere else?
Sure. I mean, I wonder, I didn't go to Stanford because ultimately my family couldn't afford it. It was too expensive, and we definitely couldn't afford it now. So I went where I could afford to go.
Was it only a money decision? Like, did you look and go, hey, Pepperdine, great, it's in Malibu, but also, this is not going to cost my mom money?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Pepperdine sits on the beach in Malibu was not a deterrent to attend. It had a robust broadcast journalism department where I could get in as a freshman and just start working on the news station and the news shows.
No college football, though.
Yeah, that wasn't really on my radar.
That wasn't on your radar?
Not at all.
Because that's one of the things I think about, is I go, oh, would I have been hanging out at college football games? Like, I look down at the Oregon and the Oregon State student sections with great envy when I'm in the press box. I got to be honest. I look down and I go, I wonder if their experience is enriched, because I didn't really get to go to a college football game as a student.
Yeah. No, that was, remember, I went to Park Rose and our football team like didn't win a single game when I was there.
But you still went.
The Broncos have vastly improved since. That wasn't really a factor. I mean, I definitely wanted to be at a university. I wanted to be at a four-year college and have that experience and get away from home and feel that. But I knew, like, Stanford at the time really had more of a print journalism program, and I already knew I wanted to be a journalist. So Pepperdine, that's what kind of set it over.
You know, if you'd have gone to Stanford, you might have married somebody who invented one of those tech companies. You know, you'd be on a private jet right now having the same conversation. Instead, you're sitting in our little studio.
Happy as a clam.
What could have been?
You can't live life that way. Come on.
Leave it here. You got the BFT. Grab a podcast for this radio show by subscribing to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. Wherever you get a podcast, you can get the Bald Faced Truth. My wife is in the home studio, as she is every day about this hour. We're watching the Michael Jordan documentary last night. We watched part 3 last night. You're very much into that. Dennis Rodman, kind of an interesting show. We've talked on today's show about pets. I want to ask you about both of these things really quick. First of all, your takeaways, Dennis Rodman and the Bulls and Michael Jordan. Boom, go.
Just so good. I mean, incredible storytelling on such an incredible story to tell, frankly. And what gets me is, as a broadcaster, is how much footage they've been sitting on for, like, what, 2 decades now? Where has this bus stuff been? Just in an archive somewhere? It's incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch a documentary with somebody who has done documentaries, and so your instincts are like to kind of cry out, hey, why haven't we seen this thing like 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you about pets too. We were kicking this around earlier with Alabama Adriana. Do you buy the idea that the world's pets are more stressed out now than they were before coronavirus?
Only if there are children under the age of 10 in the household, which we have. So, yeah. Before, the pets were just lounging around all day while the kids were at school, napping for extended periods of time. And now they're dealing with, tyrants who have, replaced them as their playmates. So, very much so. Yeah.
I imagine the two dogs we have are turning to each other and going, this is some weekend. Like, this thing won't ever end.
Exactly.
Like, what's going on with this? I don't, like, okay, you know my take on service animals. You did a story on this. What's the most ridiculous service animal you've ever seen? Like, therapy animal?
Well, it was, I don't know, ridiculous. It was different. Guy had a boa constrictor that would, like, you know, give him a hug whenever he was going to have a seizure. That's, he had epilepsy. It was phenomenal.
That's what a boa constrictor does. Mm-hmm. All right. That's not a therapy constrictor. All right. We're back tomorrow with more. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you're here noon to 3 p.m. if you're listening live. Big guests on tomorrow's show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.